All right, welcome everybody to the 2024 Rocky Mountain Men's Parade Advance. Glad you are here. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask a very pointed question. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's going to serve the King? Let's sing together.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely, let us love each other too, let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven, at his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve him with sweet manna all around. To God be the glory, great things he hath done, so sin and open the light gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he
again. Fill his heart with thy love, may his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, find the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory, revive us on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God.
remain standing. Let's make that our prayer. Drew, would you continue to just play that in the background as you think about the words? Let's bow our heads before God. This is our men's prayer advance. We're not retreating. We desire to advance in our walk with the Lord. So let's just bow your head there, and let's just all go before the Lord. If that's your prayer, if you can honestly say, God, speak to me, and God, if you speak to me, then I will say yes. See, that's an attitude, saying yes to God, obedience. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings conflict. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's just all go to silent prayer right now and ask for an open heart. Ask that God would change your life. God, as a group of men, we are here today. We are needy before you. We don't have everything figured out. We're broken, but God, you're still in the business of using broken people. God still uses broken crayons. And I'm thankful, God, that we can humble ourselves before a God who can do all things. You are sovereign. You're omnipotent. You have all power. You can do anything. And yet you choose to work through us. Oh, God. Please, for these pastors, these men who have prayed for this event, oh God, would you please pour out your spirit, and may you find willing, obedient hearts upon everyone that you pour your spirit upon. God, help us to say yes to you. Oh God, we anticipate that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are so glad that you're here. Don't you love Steve Baker's enthusiasm and song leading? Amen. I tell you what, Drew, if you keep playing that well, we might let you play in public one day, okay? That's pretty good, okay? You know, good music can really set the foundation, can it not? But we also love good fellowship. We'll say more about that later. But we would love to know, because I haven't been able to meet everybody. And we have, well, let's do this first. How many of you are here for the very first time in a men's prayer advance? Raise your hand real high. Look at that, guys. Let's give them a hand, all right? All right, we're glad for new folks. And we're glad for the old folks here, too, okay? Well, listen, we want to get to know you. So I'm going to start... Craig Scott, the original director for this, and we thank God for his church and his leadership. I want everyone from Woodside Baptist Church to stand up real quick, Craig and all his folks, and let's give them a hand for really hosting most of this, okay? God bless you, Craig, and all of those. Lots of work goes on behind the scenes. That's evidence because they had candy out there on the registration table. Did you see that? It's very important, Craig, right? You know, we got our priorities. I have the privilege of pastoring Grace Baptist Church, and not all of our folks are here today. Some are coming tomorrow. But Grace Baptist Church, if someone from Grace Baptist Church, including Mark, we got you. Let's give them a hand, okay? There's Joel, okay? All right, if you're a pastor and you brought a group with you, would you stand, and we'll just go around the room real quick, and we're going to try to recognize the groups. So if you're a pastor and you brought a group, okay, Butch is on staff there. Several of you from It's Cross... Crossview Baptist. If you're with Crossview, stand up, please. With Jeff Ione. Jeff is sick. We're sorry to hear about the pastor being sick. He would have been here. Let's give them a hand. We're glad. Butch, we're glad you brought your group here. You may be seated. Other pastors, stand up with your group if you're with a group. We'll just do this then. Everybody else that hasn't been introduced, please stand up, okay? Everyone else. And we'll give you a hand, okay? All right. We're glad that you're here. God bless you, especially if this is your first time. And we're glad that you have joined us today. In just a few minutes, Bob Holmes will be taking our first session. And I'm going to ask him and all of the speakers to stand. But Bob, if you'd stand first. There he is. Okay, Bob will be taking the first session. All speakers stand at this time and just remain standing. I just want each speaker just to tell where your name, where you're from, kind of what your burden is for this meeting. Not necessarily your message titles. You can. But what is your burden for this meeting? Bob? Amen. God bless you. Okay, Tom.
Yeah, I'm Tom Palmer from Springfield, Pennsylvania. But I get in these settings, this atmosphere, the term fresh encounter with God is just really what comes to the fore.
Praise the Lord, Harold. Amen. Okay, back here, Doug.
Doug here, Greenville, South Carolina. Working with PTSD. My prayer is Psalm 34:6. This poor man crying, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. I hope that it would be a tool somewhere for God to use. Amen.
Praise God for your ministry. Enjoy sitting down with you at lunch. Looking forward to your breakout session. Stephen Vaughn. Amen. Are you in any relation to Harold Vaughn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just we're glad to have Stephen Vaughn. I think this is your second year out here, right? And you've been working with Christ Life Ministries for how many years?
Specifically working with Christ Life has been 2 years.
Okay, great. We're glad to have you here. Next, we want to introduce the board, and we have some new members. So I'd like all the board members to stand, if you would. All the board members stand and remain standing for a moment. So Craig Scott had the privilege of serving with Craig since the beginning about 8 years ago. Appreciate his vision. And then I'm going to go to our newest member, and that's Nate Stebman. We appreciate his leadership. Tri-City Baptist Church did just a fantastic meeting in June. I was really sad I had to miss it because I was preaching at camp, but I heard great things from many people, and your leadership was integral there. And we're thankful that you're going to bless us with some of that administration and vision, Nate. So Tri-City Baptist Church in Westminster. And then we have two state representatives who are now directors. First of all, Mike Clement from the great state of Nebraska, right? And by the way, it's a great state because now Nebraska's football team is in the top 25, okay? All right, that's a long time coming, okay? And then beside him is Tim Ricker. He is our state representative and also a director with Wyoming. In case you guys didn't know, we also do a men's prayer advance in May. We've done two so far, and these men largely take control of that, and we'll say more about that later. So, men, you may be seated, and that's kind of who works behind the scenes to help us with all these things. This first session, there's a few more announcements because this is our first time together. But just a couple things. We have a choir every year, and here's the benefit. You say, well, my voice isn't that good. Well, how's your stomach? Because whoever is in the choir gets to eat first tonight. So when you hear the announcement, our first dinner tonight is 5:30. When you hear that, all of the choir, seriously, all of those in the choir will go first through the line to eat because you'll come up here with Steve Baker, our song leader, and you'll practice a bit here in the tabernacle, and then you'll have a special tomorrow night. So choir, be looking forward to that. The volleyball game. Bob Holmes, would you stand for a moment? I met this guy 30 years ago. I know you wouldn't remember me, but we were at Morningside Baptist Church about 30 years ago. And you took on Morningside. I forget who won. It doesn't matter. But it was a great event. And God has used Bob. In fact, I watched his video. The one video he sent me was of you going against Minnesota Viking players, right? And I also appreciated how the video showed you going into high schools, public high schools, right? Because of your unique opportunity. Now, we have the chance. It's us against him. Now, we probably won't put all 50, 60 of you against him. But we're looking for some people who are willing to take him on, okay? So if you have great volleyball skill or no volleyball skill, tomorrow we'll say more about that. Bob, thank you so much for being with us. We're looking forward to that game tomorrow. We'll say more about that. There will be times of testimonies. If God puts something on your heart, even before you came to this meeting, but mostly what is God saying to you during these meetings? There'll be times for testimonies. If God puts on your heart a testimony you'd like to share, something God's doing in your life, see any of the directors, and we would love to. There are times we do spontaneous, impromptu testimonies, but there are also times when we might have one or two guys that want to give a testimony, and we put you into the service. My last announcement is the steak dinner. One of the highlights here, that's Friday night. We look forward to that. There's just a lot on the schedule, but we wanted to give you an overview of what's going on, especially for the many guys who are here for the first time. By the way, if you're dry, it is, you know, some of you traveled a great distance, talk with a couple people from Pennsylvania. It's a little dry here. We have water on the back row, so that's available to you. And just throw your empty bottles in Craig Scott's car, okay? All right. Steve, where's Steve Baker? Steve, are we going to have a couple more songs before speaking? No? Okay, so at this time, we've introduced Bob. Bob, if you'd come up, let's have our first message. Get your Bibles, guys. You have a notebook. Let's give him a hand as he comes up and speaks to us this afternoon.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm extremely disappointed that Craig Scott purposely broke his leg so he wouldn't have to play me. So Brother Harold said he was going to play one-on-one. How many would like to see that happen? Who will you cheer for? I appreciate this opportunity more than you know. Lord, I ask you that you would take every word. It's so important. The word of God is just vital. Help us to go out of here saying, we heard God's word and not one ounce of opinion. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Go to the book of Jude, and I want to speak a very unusual message. I've never opened a meeting with this message ever, but I had like 17 other ones ready to go, and God led me to this one. I want to speak on true compassion pulls souls out of fire. True compassion pulls souls out of fire. And in Jude 17, look at the first verse here we're going to see. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. How many of you think we're living in that day? And then he says, these be they, and he describes them, who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. In other words, all they live for is their senses. They don't have the Holy Spirit. But how do you reach somebody that's that hardened, that is what I call, according to this verse, lustful mocker? Can we actually reach lustful mockers? And it says they separate themselves from anything like we want to do this week. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then he comes in with this verse right after saying that there would be lustful mockers and we better keep our eyes on the love of God and not lose faith in his love. And then in verse 22, some have compassion making a difference. How many of you believe every word of God is true? Yeah. Compassion makes a difference. So I looked up the word compassion and it means with passion. Pretty simple. Calm means with, passion means passion. And it comes in right after this. You mean a compassionate person can actually make a difference in a lustful mocker. I know that in one town they had homosexuals marching down the street holding up posters that God is gay. How many of you believe any sin can be forgiven? But notice what this says right here. Compassion makes a difference. I went to this one school. They said, don't go to that school. They will not throw knives at you. They will not throw spitballs at you. They will throw knives at you. And I went to this school in Pennsylvania, and I'll never forget it. When I walked in that school, every young person had looked like a punker with hair going every which way, the dark makeup, the angry look. And I thought, dear Lord, I need to love these teenagers if any difference is going to happen. Please love them through me because I want to make a difference. Well, it's amazing what happened. I got up to speak and I said, you know, Britney Spears, now I use Lady Gaga, will sing all her X-rated songs to you. But when you end up dead or you have some sexually transmitted disease, I don't want to see you dead. I want to see you live. And the whole place got silent. And the principal come up to me. He said, how did you do that? I said, what did I do? And he said, how did you get them so quiet? I've been a principal here for years. I've never seen them pay such attention. What made the difference? And that verse came back to my mind. Compassion makes a difference. And I thought, wow, does our country need a difference right now? But compassion makes a difference. That night, a whole volleyball team got saved. And a verse came back to my mind. Compassion makes a difference. A year later, a girl walked up to me. She said, remember when you came to our school? I said, how could I forget it? She said, we had a Bible club that was a half a classroom big that grew to four classrooms big after the assembly was over. And a verse came back to my mind a year later. Compassion makes a difference. But the next verse is the thing that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to tie together right now. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Notice the term, pulling them out of the fire. I believe with all of my heart that everything Jesus said is true, not just about heaven, but it's also true what he said about hell. And so he said, we ought to pull them out of the fire. Oh, no, if you preach on hell, you're not loving people. No, the opposite is true. If I don't preach on it, I'm hating people, especially after I see what I saw in the scripture that I want to give to you. Here's the songs in the last 30 years that made number one on the charts. Ready? Highway to Hell, Go to Hell, Hotter Than Hell, Citizen of Hell, Burn in Hell, Hell Patrol, Aloha from Hell, Condemned to Hell, and Gonna Raise Hell. But I want us to take a trip with the real tour guide of hell. His name is Jesus. And I want us to see what he said, because how many, again, believe everything he said is absolutely true? So what did he say about this? The way he starts the tour we're going to take, we're going to all go on a trip now. And we're going to ask Jesus to guide us to the sites, not a place you want to go to. But I, especially at the beginning of a conference, but you know what? I pray it'll burden our hearts. Because how many of you believe whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire? So look at Matthew 5:29. He starts out with a graphic illustration. So before we take the trip, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So a whole body goes to hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Wow, I think he's trying to get our attention. You're better off to take your right eye and pluck it out and throw it from yourself. How many believe that's graphic preaching? And until everybody's nodding their head, I'm going to get real firm in a minute. How many believe what I'm saying so far is all biblical? So you ought to say, if my right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you. For you don't want to go to this place, ever. And then we see how Lucifer fell. Don't go to this, but I'm sure you've heard this verse before. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Lucifer got very prideful, and he got cut down. All right, everybody scream out the word down. 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 His pride brought him down. And people who think they're prideful think they're going to go on with it. All pride is going to be brought down. Nobody will remember how great you thought you were. Hitler, your pride is brought low. Murderers of babies inside a mother's womb, cutting them up. Let me tell you something. Your pride will go down. Babies, I mean, think of it. How kids nowadays in the chambers of a mother's womb are being tortured in the way they're dying. And so I believe it with all my heart. There's an eternal torture chamber called the lake of fire. And how many believe that's a whole lot worse than anything? And so when you think about this, a person without Christ is headed to a torture chamber that will never end. And then you look at the human traffickers and how they take kids into a awful place, into their torture chambers. And then you see how they treat those kids, bringing in 20 men a day sometimes to hurt those kids. And I deal with it in the schools. They've been letting me preach the gospel in several schools now, and the kids are running up to me saying, I was going to kill myself tonight. I'm glad he let you give the gospel to me today. And I said, I'm glad too. He said, same thing happened to me. they credited me on the internet, and I said it so clearly. They'll take your looking at a game, and they'll make it sound like they're your friend, your own age. And then they take you, and they literally, while you're playing the games, they say, send us a picture of yourself. So they do. And then they say, all right, if you don't send me a worse picture, we're going to post the first one all over the internet. And then when they send the second one, now if you don't send us a certain amount of money, we're going to post both pictures on the internet. And three kids told me in three different schools, I was going to end it all because I know exactly what you're talking about. People, this isn't happening just in a few places. But thank God, no matter what the sin is, no matter what has been bringing people down, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Transvestites going in elementary school will be brought down. The memory of the wicked is forgotten. Ecclesiastes says, the living know they shall die, but the dead not know anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Go ahead. You think you're not going to go there? And everybody sort of says the word all the time. You are, well, we sold platinum albums promoting sex. Listen, the memory of what you did will be forgotten by everybody. I don't care if your name is Taylor Swift. You will be brought down. $60 million NBA players that deny the Lord. I've been in front of all these kind of athletes, and it's amazing how if they don't have $60 million, when they have $30 million, they want $60 million. How many believe the only satisfaction comes from serving Jesus? That's the only thing that matters. Think about this. Lamborghini I drove. The memory of them will be forgotten. Dictators of nations. But I had a PhD that and taught colleges. You know, they worship me because I taught them evolution so they can go in any sin they want to go in. Your pride will be brought down. But let's go a little further into the subject. The Lord wants to take us to a trip not only to how Satan fell and how he's going to bring people down, but I want you to see this very clearly here. The light of the world came into this world. How many believe Jesus is still the light of the world? In him is no darkness at all. But I read this verse in the book, we won't go to it, but in the blackness of darkness forever. And I thought, what did he mean by blackness of darkness? Because you cannot have 1 ounce of light. If Jesus is the light of the world, there can be no light where he is not. So if you were to take out Jesus, there would be absolute darkness, and you wouldn't see your finger in front of you. Lord, help me to see my sister again. Help us to see people that are lost, that are going to go to this place. And may it start this conference out with wanting to get the precious light of the world to people in Jesus' name. Amen. Blackness of darkness. And then we see there's bodily parts in hell. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Imagine being thirsty forever. I've been thirsty playing volleyball. I had to go to this place that was 120 degrees out and play in sand for 2 hours. I had to eat 20 bananas to stay alive. And I know how it can get very hot. But can you imagine how thirsty I was then? But there is absolute thirst forever. But Abraham said, son, remember in your lifetime you received good things, but Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Now I believe if your body goes to hell and you have a tongue that craves liquid, how many would agree with me that hell is not just mental anguish, but it's a real lake of fire? So when you think about it, no rest, the Bible says. And this Revelation 14:11. The smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day or night. You can go into any burn ward and see people not sleeping for 6 months. But can you imagine with blackness and thirst and torment and no rest forever? Not just 6 months. Psalm 11:6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest, and this shall be the portion of their cup. Now you say, what's brimstone? I always read it, fire and brimstone. Don't listen to all these hellfire and brimstone preachers. But how many of you believe if hellfire and brimstone is in this Bible, we ought to preach it? So listen to what brimstone means. It's sulfur. It's the worst smell you'll ever smell in your whole life. And it suffocates you. You say, wow, those people under those oxygen tents that had COVID, what horrible things they went through. But can you imagine for all eternity somebody in brimstone and fire, and that will be the portion of their cup? And can you imagine suffocating and trying to get a breath of air with darkness around you, with fire around you? And so what an amazing thing. But I must, if I have compassion, I'm going to want to pull them out of the fire. When I go into schools, I don't see them on bleachers. I hang them over a lake of flames ready to fall in. And all of a sudden, God gives me the strength now for 40 games that week. Why? Because I just love volleyball. No, sir. It's because I believe that somebody that dies without Jesus Christ is actually going to this place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Lake of fire. Now, you can imagine having a lake of flames all around you forever. Go swim in a lake, water around you. But there's a beach that you can get out. But in this lake of fire, there's no beach to get out. You're suffocating. You wish something could be done about it. But you remember in church when you laughed actively about hell and about fire and brimstone. I'm sorry to say this, brothers, but I was listening to a man preach who's a famous man in our organization. And he was preaching in a Bible preaching church on hell. He said, hell is going to be very active. And everybody started laughing in the whole church. I believe this, that if somebody really went there, you couldn't possibly laugh. Couldn't even possibly laugh. And they were, when he said, and people without Christ are going to die and go to hell, and they started clapping. It's compassion that ought to make a difference, not our clapping and laughing about where they're going. Right? No trip has ever taken someone to this place with Jesus being our tour guide and laugh about it. Could not possibly happen. Because whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And then it says this, wait till you hear this. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Come back with me to an emergency room and see a patient wail and wail, and in anguish their teeth will rattle together. But no doctor will ever get you out of this place. Your friends and relatives and neighbors, there's nothing that will get out of there. So if they're alive now, let's pray they get saved. Amen. Weeping, wailing, regret, gnashing of teeth, everlasting fire, unbelievable. No pride, bodily parts, thirst, no rest, a horrible smell and suffocation, lake of fire, furnace of fire, everlasting fire, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You say, how long is forever? Hey, bird, come out of the sky, please. Let's get a pebble of sand and fly it to Mars. Come back through space again, come down to Earth's atmosphere, get another pebble of sand. And Mr. Bird, by the time you get this whole planet Earth to Mars, pebble by pebble, a person won't even start in hell. Hasn't even started yet. Imagine a place for all eternity like this where there's no end, no breathing room, no relief, no comfort, no water, no happiness, no smiles, no jokes, no peace, no thrill, no love, no friends, no husband and wives, no pastor sermons, no guidance, all but darkness, no joy, no good news, no sleep, no picnics, no anniversaries, no sight, no friendly conversations, no laughter, no smiles, no singing, no Holy Spirit striving, no parties, no grandparents' prayers anymore. Forever! And I'm thinking right now of a man on an airplane next to a window was having a heart attack. And the people wanted to get to him, the paramedics that were on the plane. And the guy in the middle seat sat there and didn't move. You say, can people be that cold? Yes. But you know what's colder than that? How many believe everything I've said so far is biblical and true? I had a Christian school. I brought this message, and teachers, Pastor, were upset at me. Because some of our unsaved parents will be mad you preach so graphically about that. And the next chapel, the youth pastor got up and apologized for this sermon. Wow. If I don't preach on it and I don't care about it, I'm worse than the guy in the middle seat. In fact, I'm worse than an abortion doctor because that baby dies and whatever goes to heaven for all eternity. But if I don't bring people out of hell, I mean, I ought to look in the mirror and say, Holmes, this place called hell is causing people to hurt a whole lot more than that baby being hurt in the womb or that person in that room. If we can rescue them out of being trafficked and they get rescued out of that torture chamber but die and go to hell, let me tell you something. Hell is so much worse than anything on this earth. Smoke coming up from this place. No escape route. I'm asked more than any other question, why have you played so many games in 6,000 schools? Because I just want to go from school to school because I just can't seem to graduate from high school. No. It's what I'm preaching now. Jesus said it 160 times. That we're not saved from depression, anxiety, poverty, disappointments, and loneliness. We are saved to escape the damnation of hell. And then I put this together and I said, Lord, help me never to quit. All the words that describe this place, accursed, anguish, blackness, bottomless pit, burned, condemned, cursed, damnation, darkness, eternal fire, everlasting fire, flame, fearful forever, furnace, indignation, judgment, punish, pit, suffer, torment, tribulation, unquenchable, wailing, weeping, wrath, anguish, lake of fire, a place of sorrows, a place of filthiness. So what do you call a hellfire damnation preacher? You call him a Bible preacher. Well, we're not going to win much popularity contest on our first service, are you? I was told, oh, that woman put me through. Don't say it. This trial is worse than. Don't say it. I've been through. There is nothing as horrible as the place I'm speaking. Nothing. A couple guys come up and said, the way you cover the court, we'll put you on our Olympic team. I said, I'm not interested. They just wondered why. They said, think of the trophies you could have and the more people you could reach. But it would take 2 years away from reaching people to try to get them out of this place here in the gospel. And by the way, how many are glad for John 3:16? For God so loved the world, and this is how we read it a lot,
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But once you have taken this trip, and once you have gone to this place, and once you've heard Harold, Brother Harold, like I did before coming in, he fired me up to preach on this. How many of you, God, we still have evangelists that preach on hell? That was weak. How many are glad we still have people that preach on hell?
Yes.
And when I heard, literally heard, a girl say to me, I grew up in the Christian school. I went to Christian camps every summer. I went to Bible college, and she said, I don't remember hearing one sermon that was a whole sermon on that place. Why? We might lose some people that keep our kingdom going. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. All of a sudden now, once you've taken this trip, you're not going to be the same. Unless you just haven't taken it. You'll come back on fire once you go to this place and you'll say, I mean, my goal is no longer, right? Any of your goals, young people, to be an NBA player. Or there'll be no more pleading from a pastor to be a soul winner. You'll never hear somebody say, I'm too shy to pull a man out of a fire. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to grab him and pull him. A seventh grader got so much strength when a man was crushed under the vehicle. He was a skinny seventh grader, and he got strength because he was so passionate to lift up the car, and somebody pulled the guy out because the flames were getting close to him. I believe our churches would have more power if we really went to this place on the tour of Jesus. Nobody would say, how can I serve, Pastor? They wouldn't say, why do I have to serve? It'll be, what can I do? People say, when are you going to retire? Some of you have been asked that sometimes. When am I going to retire? How many believe the lake of fire will never retire? And I said, I've got to keep going. I can't stop. As long as God allows me to move, I've told 6 million people that. As long as God allows me to move on a court, I'll keep going. Because I don't want to see any more people go to this place ever. A church had me in several schools. I was going to be in front of thousands of students. The church called me up, and the church canceled it. I said, why are you canceling? Did the schools back out? He said, no, but we wouldn't have enough room in the Sunday school for those who would get saved. Have you taken this trip? You tear down the walls if you've taken the trip. More money given to dog food last year than churches. And by the way, I'm not being critical, but I'm saying it because I believe it with all of my heart. The word hell is being thrown around today like confetti in a wedding. We have politicians, I won't go into names, but we have politicians that use the word hell 12 times to make points in their political speeches. And I personally wrote underneath, hell is not a political point. It is a lake of fire, and the only way out of it is Jesus Christ. People use that word so flippantly. But let's think about what this place really is. We say we literally believe the Bible. How many believe every preacher that's going to preach this week is going to preach a literal Bible? Then God helped me to look at this truth and say, this is as literal as anything else. Are you taking the tour? Thank God Jesus went to the old rugged cross, had a crown of thorns, a back beaten, a face spit out, a beard pulled out, and he had all his skin hanging in ribbons after being beaten so bad, and he did all of that so we wouldn't have to go to hell. How many of you are glad for Jesus? How important that is. And some of my best friends have said to me, they're pastors, if you preach on that, you're not going to get many meetings. We just love you, Bob. We want to see your ministry grow. We want people patting you on the back and smiling afterwards. We can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. And we have taken the trip, and we've seen what Jesus took us to, and we've heard it. And God, help us to do something about it. Another church, on a Wednesday night, had 300 lost people show up. They had a mile-long submarine sandwich. They had the program all perfectly outlined. I ate half the sub. And they had the outline all geared up to what they were going to do that night. And I know it was incredible what God put me through that night to really teach me something. And at the end of it, when I was going to preach, there were 300 visitors, 200 regular church people. When it was time to preach, ...200 left the gym. The pastor came up and said, "Don't feel bad. The 200 who left are my regular church people who are getting used to getting out of prayer meeting at 8:30 every Wednesday. Some more people need to take this trip. I need to go there more. I don't want to become routine. I don't want to become formal. I want it to burn in me." I'm going to say it. Not a popular thing to say, but I'm going to say it. In one church, a pastor canceled the whole meeting. I said, "Did the schools cancel?" "No." I said, "Well, how come you're backing out?" He said, "On Wednesday night, we only found that Wednesday night was the night that we could get one of the high school assemblies. Because all the nights they were having games. So the only night we could rent the public high school and do the rally was on our prayer meeting night. Boy, am I for prayer, because God does nothing but an answer to prayer." True? He said, "So we're canceling the whole thing." I thought, well, for one night during the whole year, can you just move the service into a gym and reach souls? Can we just literally believe there's a hell that people need the Lord so bad that we take our prayers and put some feet to it? A lady comes through the back door and she begins to scream, "My house is on fire. Would one of you men please come and help me? He's old and the flames are getting close to him from falling down with smoke inhalation. Would somebody help me?" And the men of the church are kneeling and turn around and say, "We're praying right now." Yeah. Nowadays, we want to preach what people like. We find out if the campers like the speaker. And if the speaker preached on Taylor Swift and got specific about witchcraft and filth during concerts, they won't like the speaker being so specific about those things. So I guess the campers won't come back next year, but neither will the speaker who spoke on it. Because we want to bring in somebody that's cool. If you have not heard Brother Harold Vaughn's message on pleasing people, you've got to hear that. "Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness. In this very day and hour, I will be a witness. Fill me with your power. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving grace." How many of you are glad God can still save people? Father, I thank you. So we'll go into the cross so I don't have to go there myself. And help me be to the place in my own life where I can't but speak the things we've seen and heard. Even if they apologize for the preaching, I can't help but speak these verses because they're in the Bible and Jesus, you taught about this. I'm not sure how in this ministry you handle invitations, but I will say this. How many would agree that how many would agree because this place is real, we've got to care for the dying to hell? Raise your hands. We've got to care more for them. Amen. Lord, I pray that this would have opened our conference in the way that you wanted it to open. Please. Lord, I would have loved to preach about 10 other things. But God, you have taught about this 169 times. And Lord, if a girl could go through years of a Christian school and years of what she went through in camps and never heard a full... Oh, yes, she heard people mention hell. But Lord, you didn't mention hell when you came here. You exposed it. And help me to be a faithful preacher to do that wherever you tell me to do it. How many would say this? Message has challenged me more to pull people out of the fire. Raise your hands high. Wonderful. Praise the Lord, all of us. Thank you for listening to the Lord. I was worried I wouldn't get through the sermon. I'm about 20 minutes early. But I think the Holy Spirit might want us to do a little praying about helping us have a burden to reach souls. So with that, I'm going to have Brother Harold come. And however he feels led to close it, thank you.
Wow. What a sobering expose of the reality of eternity. I don't know about y'all, but I'm terribly distracted. And I want to tell a little story, and I think we ought to go to prayer. I go to a coffee shop back home. Everybody in there sideways, morally sideways. I befriended them. I talked to them. Show them pictures of my grandchildren. There's one in particular. She went to Liberty Christian Academy. She went to an independent Baptist youth group. A lot of you guys know this church. Turned 18, been on mission trips, turned 18. Went the other way. Went the other way. So I've been trying to leave tracks and or booklets and talk. And she came in one day and her t-shirt said, "I like older women. We're friends." I said, "Well, what does that mean?" She said, "I think you know what it means. What do you think it means?" I said, "I think it means something not good." Now, I said that to say this. I ain't mad at him. I'm not mad at him. The confusion, whatever happened, who knows what happened in many of these cases. And Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners. That's what the rigid right said. But he won them. He won a prostitute. And I don't know about you, but I'm a sorry soul winner. Maybe not a soul winner at all. That might be more accurate. But my heart's been touched. I'm thinking about these people, man. I'm thinking about them, you know. I'm thinking, I got a brother who's lost. I'm thinking about him, Ward. I'm thinking about him. I expect expect most of us have somebody that we know that's on route to eternal hell. It might do us well to start out this prayer advance on our knees, repenting of our self-centeredness. At least that's what I'm going to do. And then second, crying out to God to break our hearts for the things that breaks his heart. What a message to start a prayer advance on eternal hell. So I don't think we need the piano to play nothing. I think we ought to seek out a corner somewhere or out under a tree somewhere and go talk to God about what he's talking to us about. I'm 67. Most of my tenure on earth is used up. But there's some left. I sure would like it to count for eternal things. And I know you would too. So let's just break up and pray. If you want to pray with somebody, that's your prerogative. But if you want to pray by yourself, but let's give about 15 or 20 minutes. How about that? At least 20 minutes here to some heartfelt prayer concerning what we've heard. Amen? All right. Let's go to bat here.